getting
some certain places place. Do it by weight.
I hear you.
So we're on?
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Call to order this meeting. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Huntington Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Huntington County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would everyone please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to remember the servicemen that died in action this past week.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, first item of business is presentation of the minutes. On the agenda, it states minutes from the regular meeting and executive session on April 4th. Those will be tabled just purely due to scheduling issues of getting those worked up. I would propose, if we have comments, that we can consolidate the minutes from the special meeting and executive session of April 18th, the minutes of the regular meeting on April 18th, and the executive session on April 18th. If everyone's had a chance to review those, we could take those in one motion or comments on any.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from April 18th, the executive session, the special meeting, and the regular meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so then the meeting we can open to public comment limited to agenda items only, and remind the public that this meeting is recorded and will be on the website. Is there a motion to open?
So moved.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So the meeting is now open. If any member of the public would like to make a comment limited to agenda items. Yes, if you'd like to.
But they have to be on old business to be on the agenda.
Is one of the old business items? Yep, yep. So please come state your name and road that you live on. And
I'm Leslie Han. I live on Lanning Lane. And I wanted to speak on the agenda item about the newsletter policy. And just to state that I had reinforced in a conversation with the mayor my hope that you would publish the resolution that you passed in January, the non-discrimination resolution, and that you would publish that in the newsletter along with a brief article explaining why you did that, because I think it's important. It's a great step. And if it was unprecedented, as I understand it, to hand out a resolution to every employee and volunteer in the town, you know, participating in township activities, it is equally important to just communicate that to all the township residents. I think it's something you should be proud of and should promote. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none. Is there a motion to close?
I'll make a motion to close the public comment.
A second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So now, the next item of business is, some weeks ago, I guess a couple months ago, we put out a notice asking any member of the public if they'd like to volunteer for our Board of Health. Under the state statutes, we were looking for a medical professional, and we were, quite frankly, almost overwhelmed that we had a couple of medical doctors and a nurse, and we're here tonight to swear in Dr. Nicholas Avalon. He's an orthopedic surgeon. He's at St. Luke's Phillipsburg, Director of Sports Medicine, Chief of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery. He's also a team physician at numerous high schools and colleges in the area, so he's giving back a lot to the community, and we're thrilled to have him volunteer to give back more to ours. We'll ask you to say a few things at the end if you'd like, but the first order of business would be that I'd like to recommend Dr. Nicholas Avalon to the Board of Health. If there's a motion to appoint.
I'll make a motion to appoint Dr. Nicholas Avalon.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, if you'd like to come forward, we will swear you in.
Some direction you're going to be facing. facing, so I get it right.
You raise your right hand, please stand on the Bible, and repeat after me. I'm Nicholas Avalon, M.D., solemnly swear.
I'm Nicholas Avalon, M.D., do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established in the United States.
In this state.
In this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
Perform all the duties of a Board of Health member.
Perform all the duties of a Board of Health member.
In the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey.
Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey.
According to the best of my abilities, so help me God.
According to the best of my abilities, so help me God.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
And you broke it.
I would just like to thank the board for allowing me to volunteer my time and hopefully my talents to the township. I think we can do some great things insofar as educating the folks that live in our town, our residents, about their health and about ways that they can hopefully help prevent disease, prevent injury, and then if we happen to have some challenges in our community, hopefully be able to overcome them, from at least from our medical standpoint. I really look forward to helping to help the community and to give counsel when asked of it, and just really appreciate the opportunity to serve.
We're very much looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
So, next, we have two resolutions for tonight. The first resolution, resolution number 40, 2018. The two resolutions are required for adopting the budget that we'll do next on the agenda. So this resolution is a governing body certification of compliance with the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's enforcement guidance on the consideration of arrest and conviction records in employment decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And this resolution will certify that the local unit, Lebanon Township's hiring practices, comply with these requirements. Is there a motion for Resolution 40, 2018?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 40, 2018, Governing Body Certification of Compliance with the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. The second resolution, number 41, 2018, is the so-called self-examination resolution. The Township of Lebanon has been declared eligible to participate in the program by the Division of Local Government Services, and the Chief Financial Officer has determined that the Township of Lebanon meets the necessary conditions to participate in the program for the 2018 budget year. The resolution goes on to say that the various amounts in our budget have been calculated pursuant to law and appropriated as such in the budget, that our budget complies with the cap laws, that the budget is in such a form as required by the local budget law, that the budget and associated amendments have been introduced, publicly advertised, adopted in accordance with the relevant provisions of the local budget law, and that all other applicable statutory requirements have been fulfilled. Is there a motion for Resolution 41, 2018?
I'll make a motion for resolution number 41, 2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to the 2018 budget. The budget was introduced at our meeting on April 4th, and we gave a summary of what's in the budget. I would refer the public to the recording and the minutes from that meeting. Well, the minutes haven't been approved yet, but the recording is on the website. However, we are going to have a public hearing at this time if anyone has questions on the budget. If there's a motion to open public hearing for the budget.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So at this time, we're open to any public comments that anyone would like to make regarding the budget that was introduced on April 4th. Seeing no comments, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, is there a motion to adopt the 2018 budget as introduced on April 4th?
Make a motion to adopt the 2018 budget as introduced on April 4th.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which, now we go to old business. And as was previewed, the first topic of old business is our newsletter policy. And just a couple of comments. As we heard, the members of the public requested that we publish a resolution in our newsletter and publicize some of the activity of the committee. We reviewed, and there's no precedent for publishing resolutions in our newsletter. The newsletter is, for as long as anyone can remember, been focused entirely on community events and community education. Therefore, to publish a resolution in this kind of committee activity would require a change in policy for the newsletter. We've sent a memo around. The attorney gave us some input that once you change a policy, you have to have clear policies around that policy. So I think the what's before the committee is if anyone would like to make a motion to change the policy, then we could discuss that policy further and see if there's a second and vote on a change in the policy. So the question before the committee is if anyone would like to make a motion to change the newsletter policy. Seeing no motion from the committee to change the newsletter policy, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda is that the township is in the process of considering a new municipal telephone system. And I turn it over to you, Mark. I believe we have...
Yes, Scott is here. So, Scott, if you want to come up to the microphone. And as last meeting when we discussed is... the proposals that we get. Is this updated? We had discussed, because we had gotten three proposals, two of which were hosted systems and one of was a premise system. Currently what we have is a premise system, which basically means the box is here on site. Where a hosted system is only the phones would be here, everything goes over the internet, and there's a computer center somewhere that hosts that system, making it a little so we don't have to maintain firmware and hardware and all the other jazz. And Scott's firm, TKG, was one of the firms that offered a hosted system, so we were bringing in both of those companies just to ask questions and make sure we clarified we all understood what was being offered, because there's a lot of differences. No matter how apples to apples I think we can get them, there's always little lefts and rights to everything. That was the biggest thing, is just going through and for clarification for I think the committee is that the short term cost and then what's the long-term cost, like the 36-month portion, and then what do we go? You know, I know we have a service provider, which is a long-term, you know, continually. We're always going to have that, and then there's the payment for purchasing the phones and the installation, etc., switches, so on, and clarifying that. And then maybe costs, I don't know if it's in here, what would be involved if we say beyond this we wanted to put a phone at the museum, phone at the library, you know, change over the DPW, cause, you know, make it all one central system, essentially, so intercom to all those places.
I did address that. Scott Koenig, owner of TKG Technologies, 25-year township resident, and 28 years with TKG. So most of my company has been operating out of Flint Run Township or Califon Borough. I explained one of those apples orange on the bottom of the cover page.
Okay.
Some voice providers. A majority of the voice over IP providers not only charge you for the actual phone calls in and out of your township, but also charge you a monthly cost for each set telephone extension you have placed around. And that, I found that to be a challenge for small to mid-sized companies, which is a majority of my clientele. So I did a research to try to find a difference, and I found one that's actually based here in New Jersey, where they don't care. You could have 100 extensions. If you're only going to be on 5 phone calls at the same time to the outside world, it's $150 a month plus taxes and fees. So I was like, oh, I can now represent that to, you know, whether it's law firms on Flemington or medical groups, because the pricing is just so much better. It's a New Jersey company. I can also call them at any time. I'm getting the same people that I deal with every time I call. It's not a call center where I'm getting somebody in Malaysia or, you know, California or something like that. There are people that are right here and actually get to know my business as well. So the support level is also one of the important things for me. What I originally proposed a year and a half ago was that by consolidating not just the township and the police, but possibly public works, library, museum, into a group of call paths or call capacity, the amount of savings from your cooperative bill, which is about $1,000 a month, is somewhere in the $300 to $400 a month savings. If you did a 24-month lease of the equipment I'm proposing, it's about $300 to $400 a month. So therefore, the change to the borough, the township budget would be almost non-existent, or it would be flat. So what you're paying now per month would be the same. So it would be no increase to the township to make the change, pay for the new phones through a leasing agreement, and then after that 24 or 36-month term, then you'd see another drop by a couple hundred dollars. So you not only get the new equipment, but then you also realize the savings. And this company is also a month-to-month company, so for any reason you're like, hey, we want to try something else, there's nothing locking you in. If we are in an Optimum Cablevision area, they have the same thing. You can put Optimum Cable in, there's no contract. You don't like it after 3 months, you just switch to somewhere else. The phones are yours, and you would actually then be able to use them on other providers because it's a universal system, unlike the current ones, which are the Avaya phones, will only work with an Avaya system. If you buy a Panasonic phone system, you can only use the Panasonic phones on a Panasonic system. This is the brand that you'll see. I actually have a couple pages of example phones. Is the number one brand in the world right now and number two in the United States. Even if you go into a Verizon Wireless store, you're not going to see some of these models because this is the brand that everybody wants to use. It's the best value. They're not $400 or $500 a phone. They provide a lot of features for a reasonable cost, easy to maintain.
And understand, these are also Ethernet. We can utilize the Ethernet we have running around through most of this. I know some places don't have it. We have copper lines to it, but we do have Ethernet to computer systems.
Right.
And I see phones have dual, so we'd have an in and out. So we'd be going into this and then out to the computer, so
right.
It'd be essentially a switch. The phone would act as a switch, essentially.
I did make note in this building that the break room has, I believe, the old-type wiring, and that's one of those cases where we'd have to just run a new cable.
Right.
I'd have to take a look at I'm pretty sure the police department. I think the locker room may be down there. I'm not sure if that has a network cable or a network capable cable that we could use over again. So there's a couple places we may have to run a new cable. But as you're right, the phones actually allow you to connect the phone first and then go to a computer, so you don't waste the cabling that you already have in place.
Can the phones run on Wi-Fi so that you don't have to run a cable to it?
You can. I guess in that case, I'm kind of a little old school. If I can get it to plug in, it's going to work 100% of the time at the high speed. And Wi-Fi can work, and these phones actually do have a Wi-Fi adapter you can plug in. If there's a Wi-Fi area that doesn't have any cabling, we can explore that possibility. But I can't guarantee the call quality, because once again, your Wi-Fi, if you've ever experienced it on your phone or cell phone or computer, doesn't always stay connected.
How long would it take from the time we signed a contract to the implementation, to the training of the people of how the phone system is going to work?
Probably over phases, and one of the factors is the fact that I'm extremely swamped right now with an orthopedic group expansion, a cardiovascular group expansion, a dental office, and just everything. Everybody seemed to be wanting to jump on getting stuff done this spring. Typically, from signature, between 2 and 4 weeks, and we could get new phones in place. You could actually start making phone calls to learn how to use it before we completely switch it over. We could run the cables ahead of time that need to be run. We could do a proposal that did include the entire township. As I explained here, you could then create like 100s for the township and 200s for the police and 300s for public works and 400 for the library and the museum. And so that way, very easy, just go down the list. And you could even have that on the main greeting. So if people called Lebanon Township, say, hey, I want to reach the museum, bam, they can hit a button or dial a 3-digit extension and get transferred right to, you know, Bunville Library or Public Works.
Now, and this is the stuff people don't like to talk about, but say like there was a catastrophe at this building and the phones themselves, the hardware, was not available.
Right.
Are you able to remotely take the phone numbers and switch them to somebody's personal phone, or how would it work so that business would continue?
That's actually one of the best parts of the system, as Mark, I can tell. The system itself is residing in a data center in Persephone that also does Citibank servers and a number of thousands of other companies. Generator backup, redundant internet, that will continue to operate even if this building goes dead. So the system will still answer the phone. It can take messages. It can route it to cell phones. You can take a phone from here and plug it in your house and become a police department or a clerk at your home, not that you really want it necessarily. And that's one of the beauties of the system, is that the system is not located here, and therefore you're not limited to, if this building has a problem, like we did before, we had the cell tower and the generator, that if the building went dead, people couldn't reach the police, they couldn't reach services, stuck. And we can set those things up ahead of time, so even if it does fail, plan B, plan C can go into effect immediately to forward calls to wherever you designated Office of Emergency Management at somebody's home or something like that.
And management of the system can be done browser-wise, assumably. So, you know, whatever they snow day, they close in the building early, they can log into it and adjust it, the schedule, so it goes to whatever, noon they're closing.
Pre-record greetings in and then just log in and change the date to today's date. Say, you know, we're closed early due to inclement weather. You know, for emergencies, call this number, dial this extension or whatever. Yes, it's all web. And the telephones themselves, if you're in the building, you can actually log in and change the programming of the buttons on your own phone. It's like basically like a little mini computer. So both the system itself you can log into on the web, and the actual telephone device itself you can log into and make modifications and changes.
Mr. Koenig, have you worked with the staff on this and sat down with our department heads and went over this system so they're familiar with what? Because basically I'm not going to be operating the phone system. They will. So have you sat down with them and told them about this system? It's something that they like?
Yes and no. I've been actually talking to them. I've actually been supporting the current system for 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're in communication. Staff's been informed?
Yeah, it's... There's a few little nuances as far as differences in the way the current one works and how the new one would work. They're not major, where people are going to take 3 months to figure out how to use it. A lot of times, in fact, if you can learn how to use one of these, it's like using the new one.
Well, I just want to make sure that the system is something that's compatible with our department heads and staff. It's not something that's being decided by this committee they're never going to use it.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I'd like to know that they're using it and they understand that this is what they want. So.
Well, I so far have about 25-plus clients who are using this system, from manufacturing to medical to law firms to Jim Murray accounting office, you know, all over the place. And I've not really had anybody say, well, I don't know why we spent the money on this. Cause,
well, I understand that, but you still haven't answered my question. Have you talked to our staff about
the
system?
Well, not exactly. I mean, I did talk to Karen and Kim at times. I don't have a lot of interaction with the other departments currently.
Well, you know, the phones that we have and, like, how, you know, the big thing is making how far, how much difficulty is it going to be for them to learn these phones as to the phone system we have.
As I said, there are a couple of nuances.
You know, that's really what it, I mean,
it's
but you're talking 20 years, too, of technology differences.
I don't think it's going to take very long to make the change. I mean, if as I said, a lot of it's very simple, like even just dialing a phone call. If once you start dialing a number on your cell phone, you make a mistake, you can go back and erase the numbers. You can do that on the new system. The old one, you got to hang up, pick up, start the call all over again. So it's like things like that, which will go, oh, this is easy, this is simple. It's actually going to make it easier for the staff to operate. And I really don't think there's going to be much of a learning curve, and I don't think it's going to be something where they're going to say, gee, give me the old system back. I have a few people that were cautiously moving into this technology, and they're just saying, oh, this is so much better than what we had before. Just
like, your phone has, like, a, Kim, isn't it had like a sidecar? Like a, right? Doesn't one of them have, like, a sidecar?
No. Hers doesn't currently. And if you,
I thought it just had more buttons, like more
hers
lines.
Hers is a slightly bigger model. Yeah, hers is just a slightly bigger model. And that is something that actually we can put a sidecar. A sidecar is basically a panel that can show you all this, the status of all the other phones. For instance, if you included Public Works in the library, and if they're on the phone, the Public Works will light up red on their extension on your phone, so you know that they're on a phone. And you can wait till they get off and then buzz them and say, hey, you know, Warren, what's going on with the potholes? You know. So that's an option. It's not a very expensive option. It can add on to any of the phones you have. I usually put a slightly different model in if I'm going to use one of those. I could, as I said, go over and tweak the overall needs.
Great.
Now, Mark and I had some discussions about panic buttons because I have been working on that project. And this, apparently, your system cannot do a panic button. I should have a standalone panic button system, right?
For what purpose?
Well, like, for example, active shooter comes in the room right now. You know, somebody wants to, like, we can't just, like, there won't be a phone in here that somebody could just pick
up. She wants a taser that's going to shoot.
You know?
We're supposed to stop on the floor.
But correct me if I'm wrong, the partner system doesn't have that currently.
No, there's nothing here now. We currently have nothing to be a panic button.
Okay, because I mean,
everything I've seen on phones is you're literally, you have to dial something. So if we wanted to get the attention of Jack downstairs in a hurry, it's really not, like, wait.
Pick up the phone. Yeah, in fact, I helped rewire some of the M&T banks when they went from Hudson City, and we had installed the teller hold-up buttons underneath each desk. And it's actually such a simple system. I could probably put one in for $100 here if you wanted something like that. A couple desks and a couple lights and buzzers downstairs or something. You know.
What if we had a phone up there?
Well, then we're all going to be jumping.
Wow. Wonderful.
Okay, but I think we can take that as a follow-up then.
Yeah, I was thinking because it'd be good now is the time to talk about options you might have so I can add them to the two other contract things that I'm looking at with panic buttons right now. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I was aware of those.
But I don't think it's something that would be part of the phone system, is realistically. Right. It's what, you know, it's...
No, but maybe...
Well, it's necessary, but we were thinking at one point, we were saying, hey, is it... But it just... Logistically, it just doesn't make sense to be part of it.
Yeah, I just installed one at the Hunterdon Heart Care facility in their restroom, the little full-string thing, so that a buzzer and light would light up at their main desk to, hey, there's somebody having a problem in the bathroom. And it was not that expensive, the phone.
Is that a feature of the phone system? Or
no, this is a separate device. And
okay.
It's up to you and you.
I mean, if there's anybody else has any other questions of Scott, I mean, like I said, it was really to understand his contract, if there's anything, any details on it that anybody wanted to ask, and we weren't making any decision at this point. We're just trying to understand what we're...
This is just a housekeeping item. I guess I could have Matt weigh in on this one. The last time I entered into a contract, I was asked for a State of New Jersey business registration certificate, a certificate of employee information report that the state had wanted. Is that something that would apply, or any insurance certificates before we would enter into a contract?
Not of this nature, of this the scope, okay, of this amount.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds like a good system.
Any other comments, questions, or?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Go on with our agenda. A couple of other old business items. The first, just as an update, we'd mentioned previously, somewhat in passing, that we're hearing of activities at the Hagedorn State Facility, potential substance abuse treatment facility opening up. There's also, there's been some news out of Trenton that they might want to reopen that as a state hospital. Along with our clerk, Karen Sendors, Brian, who's the liaison to Hagedorn, the three of us are meeting with Senator Doherty this coming week to see if we can get his help in Trenton to make sure we're aware and our residents are aware as early as possible what might be going on there. Second old business update. Last meeting or two meetings ago, we approved putting up a Facebook page as part of our social media policy. Mark, did you have any?
Yeah, that was published. Karen is also an admin on it, so I didn't publish it. I didn't officially publish it until Karen was an admin. So both of us are at the moment are as an admin. Since it's kind of like a new territory, yesterday, and I guess because I got it just yesterday, I figured I'd wait to the meeting, is Hunter County put out their agenda, I'd say, for their Hunter County Rec Department for the remainder of the year. And I think one of the things that going forward is having kind of like a creating and a work on this is what a standard policy of if something comes through from Hunter County Rec that we could just go forward and publish it. The committee will make a motion of saying, okay, if it's from the Hunter County Prec or this, you know, these groups outside of our little world, so to speak, of our, you know, standing committees, it's okay to push them forward and publish them. So with that being said, I'd like to just get the permission right now to, I think it's a worthwhile thing to show, you know, put on there for the residents to know what the Hunter County Rec Department has planned for the summertime upcoming.
So you're going to link it? Is that what you're going to do? Click on this link?
They have it as like a page, so yeah, I'll have to see how it comes through. There's a couple different ways I could do it. I could PDF their whole thing and put it in there, or I could link it, and I'll see which one looks best.
Is their OEM automatically going to go on our Facebook if they have, like, for storms and stuff?
Is their OEM? I mean, then once we get to the point, we'd have Alan or whoever be the OEM also have that's the next step. Once we're sure of how it works and everything like that, is then what other people we want to have admin level to be able to log into it and post to it. And Alan would obviously be one of those people that would be, I would say, would be on that list of items, along with Jack and Warren. So, but at this point, it's just trying to get our feet wet and seeing what works.
For anyone who hasn't gone there, what's the name of our page?
Lebanon Township Municipality. And it's also linked on our website. So Karen Newman did link it on the website, so you can get there and see the updates from that, too.
So would there be a motion to post or link, however you technologically determine the best, the Hunterdon County recreation activities on our social media?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Any other old business from the committee? And on to new business. We received a letter during the past week or so from the State Agricultural Development Committee that they received an application for preservation of Block 30, Lot 20 in Lebanon Township. It is a 83-acre property, a flag lot off of Hill Road. And we are being asked to fill out a form that we support the effort to preserve this farm or we do not support the effort, and we can make comments on that form as well.
I'm sorry, what road is it?
It's off of Hill Road. It's next to just down from DD Drive. Echo Lane is the private lane. So it's it has preserved properties on two sides of it, and then it's a flag lot out to Hill Road. This is a state direct program, so they're not asking for any at this point. There's no discussion of township or county money going to this preservation. They're just asking, I guess, if it, for example, if we had a master plan that this would impinge on, or if we support it or don't support it.
Isn't that pretty much just wooded area in there?
There's a lot of wooded area, a little bit of wet, but they've got some big farm fields back in there. If there are any comments or if there's a motion to either support or not support?
I'll make a motion to support the application of farmland preservation for Block 30, Lot 20, Lebanon Township, Hunterdon County, SADC ID number 10-0225-DE.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Is this going to cost us any money?
That's what I said. It's not. They're not asking for any township funding. Yes. This is out of a state direct program.
Yes.
Stain?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Next is a correspondence from Joanne Fasinelli regarding our free computer electronics and scrap metal recycling event. She would like to schedule that for October 13th, 2018. She's talked to vendors and she's recommending that we use Advanced Recovery, vendor we've used in the past, a flat fee of $1,750 plus a $20 charge for air conditioners and dehumidifiers that contain Freon. Any discussion?
But that was what we've done previously, as I understand, but I guess that currently now, if we did it, there's the options are there'd be a flat fee of $3,000, which I'm guessing...
That's a different company, which...
Oh, SMO. Oh, that's a different company.
I think Advanced Recovery is the way we want to go, right?
Yeah. Okay, I was seeing that as Advanced Recovery.
So yeah. I think the apples to apples with the other vendor is $3,000 versus the $1,750, or... We could do it less if we did all the staffing, but she points out that...
It's really not less. If you do the math on the labor, it's not less.
Yeah. And she points out various downsides if things break and whatnot.
Yeah. And we've been happy with them, right?
I've had no issues with them. So. And like if we if they don't have enough trucks, they come back and pick up. You know, they don't leave anything behind. So, we have had no issues whatsoever with them.
So is there a motion... Yep.
I'll make a motion to hire Advanced Recovery for a one-day, four-hour event for the free computer electronics and scrap metal recycling event.
Second.
On October 13th.
On October 13th.
2018.
And it was second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. A late addition to the new business, there was a request from the fire department asking if a member could park a trailer of some sort on the grounds of Station 1 for approximately 2 weeks. Last week, or last meeting recently, we worked out a hold harmless document. I would suggest we ask the owner to sign a hold harmless agreement just in case any damage occurs to make it clear that it's not the township's responsibility.
And would that agreement also be for 2 weeks?
And we can limit that to the two-week period. I don't
travel trailer.
It sounds more like a camper trailer, but I don't know the details. If any other discussion?
Yes, it's a fireman.
It's a member of the fire department. Yeah.
This is the one we discussed last time.
No.
This was a Red Cross. The last one was a Red Cross.
The concern was to also require clear delineation that we're not taking possession of this, we're not protecting it. If something happens to it, it's only a courtesy to allow them to park there. We're not taking a bailment.
Is there a motion to approve the member parking a vehicle, parking a trailer at the Station 1 subject to a hold harmless agreement?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item of new business, maybe to preview, the school recently announced that they have a couple of strategy sessions coming up, and liaison to the school board, Deb Kohler, will be attending those on behalf of the committee. Did you want to say anything about them?
No, I have to get some more information on them.
Okay. I believe there are three meetings. They'll be asking for input from teachers, parents,
yeah.
Committee,
May 15th, May 22nd, and I think June 5th was the last one. So I'll be at all three.
Very good. Any other new business? Then on to presentation of vouchers.
I have two. One is Morton Salt Company, salt, $19,734.86. Second is our yearly donation to the Hunter County YMCA of $4,000, and I hope that other towns will be donating in the future. And that's all I have.
I have two that qualify: Gephardt and Kiefer for services rendered in relation to our Mount Laurel decision, $4,025.19. I also have one for Gephardt and Kiefer. Services rendered for Mid-American Salt, $1,821.37. That's all I have.
I have the New Jersey Health Benefit Plan for the month of May, combined $36,464.50. Finch Fuel Oil Company for the Fire Squad 2 and First Aid Squad, combined total $2,006.69. General Code Publishers for update to the ordinance books, $1,569.51. Quest Environmental for the biennial monitoring of the First Aid Squad, $1,640. Rogat and McCarthy, which is our bond counsel, for the bond anticipation note renewal that occurred in January, $2,232.19. And Statewide Insurance Fund, installment 2 of both our workers' compensation installment and our umbrella assessment policies, combined total $51,124.25.
Yeah, I have one that applies. It's to Riverview Banquet and Catering Facility, and it's the balance for the May 5th Township Appreciation Event for the employees and volunteers, and that's for $2,630.
I have two that qualify. First is for Finch Fuel Oil Company. This is for heating oil for municipal building, DPW, and library for $2,678.56. And I have one for Hackettstown Guns and Ammo. This is for $2,466.40. And that's it.
Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. There is no correspondence on the agenda this week. So with that, we're again open to public comment on any comment, any topic anyone would like to make.
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 On any subject?
Any subject you like.
Just come up, state your name and the road you live on. And
okay, I'm Joyce Leslie. I live at 23 Red Mill Road, right across from Tom. And my question is, so the point that Leslie made about requesting that the information about the resolution, which when we were here for your January meeting and you went through all these resolutions, and I caught a little bit of it then, how will that be communicated then if we're not going to be putting it in the newsletter? What will be the method of communicating to the employees and the volunteers?
I think we have a policy that this isn't really a question and answer, but it's a simple enough question. It's a similar enough question that we'll just
okay.
Every resolution is posted on the website.
Right.
They're in the minutes. They're archived as far back as technology allows.
Right.
We also record these meetings and put them up on the website within a day or two of the meeting date. So the minutes can take a couple of weeks to get through the next approval process, but the recordings are up there. So that's that's the venue that we use to make that all available.
I just know because I had to go back and listen through the whole meeting to get to that resolution. I know that's really hard for people. And it's something that affects people's behavior and what they need to do and know. So it just kind of seems like it's something important. So I don't know if there's any other ideas besides the policy issues that you noted with the newsletter. If there's any other way to communicate so they know?
The policy issues are that we get in a situation of we either publish all resolutions
or
we publish no resolutions.
Right.
Or we have a policy to say what are important resolutions and what aren't important resolutions. And even tonight, the equal employment resolution is going to be very important to some people.
Right.
And so rather than double the size of our newsletter to publish all resolutions,
right.
I think what you heard the committee decide was we make it all available. It's through the normal course of minutes and the like, and we have a newsletter for community events.
Right, I totally understand, and that I don't have a question about. The question is more, is there another way, is there an email or some other way you can make sure everybody's aware of it? Just a question.
I mean, the agenda is put on the website. We could start putting the agenda on the Facebook, social media as we develop technology to give people more heads up of what's happening. I mean, it is, like I say, within the past year we've started recording and publishing these recordings where we have every interest to be transparent.
Right. I was just thinking that specific resolution because a lot of the resolutions, I think, don't affect individuals' behavior.
Right.
And that one does. So it just kind of seemed like maybe there was some other way that an email or some kind of thing.
As Ms. Hahn mentioned, we spoke, and I think what we can do is we can pass that resolution and make it available on the website as part of the official record.
With the other
and I think groups that want to leverage that message is how we leverage that message. Otherwise, as we find, we're in a position of deciding which we leverage.
As the mayor indicated, we discussed the possibility of using the newsletter, really mimicking what we do with the website. And the concern that raises is who decides, and it would be the committee, which ones are to be amplified.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it becomes problematic for the use of the newsletter, which has a designed purpose that to not be all-inclusive of all the information.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the decision on what to include on that is a subjective one, which my only safeguard there is to include them all. And I discussed that, and you know, that changes the newsletter into really the publication of our formal action, which is already done via the website, the minutes, the agenda process. It's not clear cut that everything that would be chosen as important to herald would be easily decided by this governing body. Which would therefore make getting the newsletter out difficult unless we were to publish all of them. And that becomes a physical and a monetary issue and whatnot. So, yeah, it's the no good deed goes unpunished problem where you try to amplify something and then it's seen as it becomes a political vehicle, the newsletter, which is, my understanding, intent is it for it to be informational and not to be. It is the expenditure of government funds, and therefore there would need to be a defined process, which is fraught with difficulty.
I'd want to go with any of that.
Yeah. And I mean, my own thought on it is the point of, you know, the governing body is to put it out there, and then it's hopefully, because we do have all these restrictions that we have to follow equally across the board. The whole point of what we kind of said there is we're equal, is then for civic groups to then take upon it and utilize it within the community, and that be the amplifying voice.
Okay.
That would be my approach.
Proud of the resolution. We're proud of the actions we took.
Absolutely. Okay. I think that's all I have. Thank you.
All right.
Leslie Han, Lanning Lane. I'm glad you just had this discussion because I regretted that you didn't introduce a resolution, discuss it, and even if you wanted to vote against it, vote against it so we could hear your reasons for it, because we had no idea what your reasons were for it. My comment is I'd like the Facebook page to, since it doesn't have a policy and it doesn't cost any money in terms of however much you want to publish, to use that venue to explain. You don't have to put every resolution on there. You might want to put the resolutions where you laud people. You might want to put the appointment of a new Board of Health member, and you might want to promote the kind of resolution that you are handing out to every township employee and volunteer. And so I hope you'll use the Facebook page for that. It will not seem to raise the same issues that you have with the paper newsletter. And also, just on another thing, when I tried to listen to an audio recording as well, I had no idea who was voting because there was no roll call. So I understand you're not going to state your name before you say everything, but for example, if somebody wanted to know who the person was who abstained from that one vote, you wouldn't know because there was no roll call. So
it always goes the same way. Always.
I know, but somebody who hasn't been here doesn't know that.
Well, then they got to come here.
Thank you.
It's in the minutes.
But it is in the written minutes.
In the written minutes, you could see that.
Okay.
But that's we appreciate the comments, the things we don't think about necessarily as they're happening. So.
Hello, I'm Jessica Shea. I live on Borges Road, and I'm adding my comments are really to support any sort of promotion of this resolution that Leslie was mentioning. I think that it's important for the public to know. And similarly, I was thinking the same thing. There has to be a way that's not concerned, that wouldn't interfere with policy or wouldn't interfere with or wouldn't cost anything to let the public know about interesting behavior-related resolutions like this. I think it would be wonderful for the township to know, and not just for the people who work or the people who volunteer, but for everybody in the public to know. So I just really wanted to add my voice to support that, because as a resident, I would find it very difficult to know about that, and listen. And again, listening to the audio would be difficult too. So I would add my support to that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, everyone. Adam Hello. Duckworth, 176 Musconetcon River Road, Chairman of the Environmental and Open Space Commission. I just wanted to share a comment on the proposed farmland preservation application. So that was Block 30, Lot 20. I did just want to highlight that is a preservation priority as part of our open space and recreation plan. So it is part of our master plan and in line with where we want to go, and very happy to see that the request has come through for farmland preservation. The one thing I would ask, and perhaps you can include this in your response, is that from a trail connectivity perspective, which is also part of our master plan and in our open space and recreation plan, there is an opportunity to connect a number of preserved parcels around there on either side of that piece of property with a very little tiny, 20-foot easement of probably 100 yards or so. So I know once it goes into farmland preservation, it becomes very difficult to do that, and pretty much, we'd have no chance. So if we could have that conversation during this process, I know that that's a possibility. So perhaps you can include that in your response.
If I could just... Again, breaking tradition a little bit here. This is a public letter, so these people are now in the public that they're applying for this. As I've learned, as Adam just said, you have to get a trail easement in before it goes into SADC preservation, because once it's preserved for farmland, a trail is not an accepted use in farmland. So this would be the time to talk to the owner, to have the owner agree as part of their SADC procedure
carve it out.
To carve out an allowed use of a trail.
And there's an opportunity. I mean, we don't even have to execute on anything right now. I mean, we could even just work with the homeowner to work it into the agreement to say, I want to keep the option open. And maybe we don't do anything for 10 years.
No,
right?
Well, but no, I think something would have to be done at the time of their preservation. It would have to be on their survey.
It gets filed in.
As part of...
I would think.
Yeah, it would be an exclusion, exception from their encumbrance.
But physically nothing would have to
physically
be done.
Nothing. Well,
right.
I mean, the paperwork and the legal
right.
work.
Yeah, but...
So I guess the question would be, and we can put it on the next agenda unless anyone... objected to making a decision now.
Only you, Brian.
The first approach wouldn't, to ask you to bring up the question, wouldn't, and then I couldn't predict either way. So I guess the question, Adam, as the head of the EOSC, would normally, I believe, the procedure would be to come to the township committee before contacting residents about a topic. We could put that on the next agenda, or we could authorize...
Yeah, I would say put it on there to find out what it is. I mean, that's what we have, Green Acres money, that's what we have all the, the things like this.
Would we authorize Adam to make contact with the property owner now, or should we take that as a more formal vote on the next agenda?
No, we're not authorizing to spend any money.
It's not authorizing to spend money.
I have the conversation. I don't have an objection unless, with that caveat that it's a discussion and we'd have to come back here for formal action.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say let's see if they're even interested in something like that. I don't know where the trail would go. I mean, in farmland preservation, it's not like a park. They're still living there. They're still working.
Yeah,
they may not want
exactly
maybe too much of
people walking down the land. So if, looking at where the view is, what makes the common sense may not. They may not be interested in carving out 20 feet swath, to do that. But it's worth the conversation before it gets trapped in this.
As liaison to environmental open space, should we, would there be a motion to authorize Mark and Adam to coordinate a discussion?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Seeing none, is there a motion to close the public comment?
Make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We do have a topic to go into executive session. The topic would fall under the category of public safety. Is there a motion for resolution 42? 2018 going into executive session. No action is expected after the executive session.
I'll make a motion for resolution 42, 2018 to go into executive session for public safety.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much.
Hi, I was supposed to get here for the...
I took pictures.
Oh.
He wanted something.
She wasn't going in the sack.
Yeah.
I got you.
That's okay.
Nope.
Budget?
Yep.
We move right along.
I don't have an extra copy.
It was an April 4th.
Obviously, they do have a copy. At the April 4th introduction,
right.
We gave the summary and the like,
right.
So we didn't.